Welcome to The Green Room, the podcast that bridges the gap between church production and every other aspect of a worship service. From programming directors to worship leaders, volunteers to vendors, tune in for inspiring conversations, expert advice, and a unique look into the intricate puzzle of church production. Here's your host, Aaron Freeman.
Taylor, thanks for being here. This is super awesome. I am very glad that you're on the or in the green room with me. Man, we've known each other for like coming up on probably 10 years.
It's been over a decade. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I was reflecting on that. The older you get, the easier it is to have those relationships, I feel like.
Yeah.
But it definitely just means we've been a part of each other's lives for a very long time. So
yeah, we kept running at each other. You were at Roswell while I was there. Then you were at Magnum. And
I totally forgot that I actually met you at Roswell UMC.
Yeah, you were doing some youth event. Yeah.
It was the D-Now weekends, the outreach weekends for Roswell UMC, doing the at the Dodson. Great memories in that place of me like trying to grab dimmer cables, like they were all over the place, and it's just interesting room. So but then
that room was a gym basically, right? If I remember
That's why all the lights kept getting unfocused, because the kids would like literally like throw basketballs at the lights, and then the lights are all static. So then like the lights would get all focused and everything. And I would get there to do an event, and I'd be like, I have to refocus everything in the room. So I would say like the interesting thing is that's the only place I've ever seen a ghost is at the Dodson.
It is an old, so Roswell UMC is like downtown Roswell, Georgia. It's this big old church. And then like their youth center is some like historical house that they bought and turned into like the youth center or something.
Yeah, and like so they've like bottom auditorium was like a gym, hallway like going down to like, you know, another rec room, and then like the second story of the house was like small group rooms. And like I didn't attend the church, but I definitely spent a lot of late nights there. One night when I was there, I swear I saw a ghost on my way out of there. And I think that was the last time I ever went into the Totson.
I'm good. See ya.
I'm not going to tell you that ghost story because this is not that podcast.
Fine.
Roswell is definitely a very historical place in Georgia. So,
That was the youth center is one thing, but then the auditorium is beautiful. It's like a very traditional Methodist sanctuary. And the massive pipe organ, it's amazing. And they still have someone that plays it.
It's like in America, like most of them have been replaced with like electronic pipe organs, like speakers that are just behind like, you know, things that look like pipe organs. So have one that's functioning and it's historic as well.
And an organist to play it. Like, they're lucky to have all that. And it was incredible. Yeah.
And you got to keep the universities, you know, keeping the organ programs going to the university.
That's
somehow.
True, I guess. Yeah, there's actually a couple of organs in Atlanta. You got, I mean, there's more than I probably know, but like you get the Tabernacle has one. Roswell
Fox
has one.
The famous Warlick.
That's right. Yeah.
Mighty Metal. And then you have one north of the city. I think there's a Presbyterian church, Peachtree Road Presbyterian, that has like a beautiful. Well, double pipe organ, believe it or not.
What's a double pipe organ?
They literally have one that's in the front of their auditorium and have one in the back of the auditorium. And it's just like they have two, like, you know, it's like just two pipe organs in one sanctuary, which you would be like, one enough? Don't, you know, and they're like, no, we just want that.
We want another one.
I mean, why not?
Yeah. Who knows? Well, I mean, I just love I would never be able to play it. I can't play the piano. I've failed piano class, literally. These hands don't work together, but that's one of the things, like if I could wake up and just know how to do something, I would want to learn how, I would want to know how to play the piano,
like,
and then the organ,
The organ's like a completely different beast from what I've heard. I definitely don't even pretend to know how to play organ. I play like key piano and I play fake, like so I just do like chords and everything and then like recite music for fun just because it's very technical and gives me a headache just like reading music. But at the same time, enough about me. The discipline going into organ playing because you have like different knobs that control different instruments and then like you know your feet do bass notes at the same time like you're playing like 15 keyboards doing like you know it's just it's
And
amazing
then
like
pulling out those stops as you're like, I
yeah
need trumpets or I need
yeah I
flutes.
need
And then
this I need
like,
this so I'm playing it's Christmas time so like I'm playing the sleigh bell song so let me trigger some bells with the you know like the
And
organ because
then
yeah.
everybody's behind you, 'cause you're like, they have like a little screen to see the conductor. Like, I can't even imagine.
And where that's like we're getting more into like movie organs, like you know, from like the 1920s where they used to have to like you know have an organist during silent
Oh
movies, you know. So, but
That's
Atlanta's
fun.
got a fantastic art scene, which I think is why we are so blessed to have like so many good contractors and so many just a rich pool of great, you know, great talented artists and people that we can collaborate with a lot of times too. So.
And a lot of large churches, which I think
We
probably
are a mecca of mega churches. We met at Roswell.
that
Where,
might
I
be
mean,
a
but,
little
sorry, can I say
blend
that?
in.
That
Just
is that is that
kidding.
is sacred? Is that iconoclastic? Maybe cut that one out.
Just, I don't know how to feel about
But we
that.
are a central hub for mega churches,
Really?
especially
Yeah, we
in
really are.
America. And Dallas is second, I think, to Atlanta. And Dallas might like actually fistfight me over that one, but Atlanta definitely has one of the largest Christian markets in America, and it's a fantastic thing for all of us that have plenty of places to go to do ministry, really, to reach people in a variety of different ways. So.
How did you get plugged into that kind of stuff? Like, did you grow up, doing lights, or what's sort of your background in getting into the church world slash production world?
So I started doing lights at Brookwood High School in Gwinnett County. It was really my starting point at the same time as doing plays and musicals and being like, you know, one of the only seven guys that wanted to be in the musicals like in 2006,
True.
right? Like let's rewind the clock to 2006. But I had a really good drama teacher who kind of pushed me into that and was like, hey, like you're really good at lighting. And I was like, yeah, I kind of actually really enjoy doing lighting. So let's see what a career might look like in the theater world. I didn't have the patience to go through the whole college thing, and the theater world is really neat college experience. So I got plugged in, like most of us at my local church that I grew up at. So I grew up at first Snellville, that became Cross Point Church when you know the pastor transitioned to a different church. Me and my mom followed him over to the new church. Helped him plant that church, and that's where I met my first mentor, a guy named Mike, who really was like, hey, you know, kind of reiterated what my drama teacher had said and was like, hey, like you're really good at lights. Like, have you ever thought about doing this as a career? And I was like, yeah, in the theater world, but you can't really make money at it. Like, you know, and I'm not like, didn't want to like role in it, but I wanted something that was consistent, that was steady, and that it was something that I could pay the bills with because that was what my parents wanted for me, really. Like, you know, any parent would want that for their kids. So that's kind of the long story short of how I got started in church world. I'd always been, you know, very ministry oriented. Even when I like went to Cross Point, I was serving as a greeter on Sunday mornings at the church and was like very active as far as volunteering, like volunteered in the youth band, that kind of stuff. So naturally, I always have had an affinity for ministry. And then the lighting production side combines the ministry side when you come into a church and you step into a church production role. So it's like a natural fit for me as a church kid who's, you know, been a Christian pretty much my whole entire life to
No,
just
I get that.
naturally, yeah, step into those environments. And from there, my career has kind of grown from that and from those sparks of inspiration from key people in my life that have kind of catalysts and driven me forward to create the person that I am today. And that's, I'm really thankful for that. And I get nostalgic about it sometimes too, where I'm just like, you know, I cannot thank the people that have been part of my story. And you probably understand that too. So.
Oh yeah, I completely understand. And it's unexpected. Like, you're not looking for those people, or you don't realize that that's happening until you're looking back on it. You're like, oh, he really helped me, or like he introduced me to this and I didn't know that it was, you know, X. I'm sure a lot of most people have that sort of experience.
Yeah, and I had a tour manager tell me one time, it's like you never know who's going to be standing behind you, you know, doing something, or when you're like, you know, creating, or when you're doing your thing, you know, being the person who you are, you never know who's going to be around you. I always have the statement that, like, you know, if you toss a rock into a pond, the rock makes ripples on the top of the water, but the rock isn't necessarily aware of the ripples that it makes when it's tossed into the pond. And that's kind of like a person who influences isn't necessarily aware of the people who they influence at the same time too.
That's a good
So
point.
that's a yeah, that's a
Well,
Taylor. I've yeah, I'm just gonna
no,
stop
that's
there.
great. I mean, that's
Yeah.
great, 'cause I mean, I would say I'm one of your ripples in
Dude,
sort of
bro.
the lighting, like the lighting world. I mean, like I learned from when you were at well, Roswell, but then like when you did stuff for North Point, and I was just sort of dipping my toe into learning Grand Amé and stuff like that. And you're like, you went over like your sort of like hierarchy of lighting. And I mean, that stuck with me. How long now? 6 years? And I'm like, oh yeah, I would love for you to go over that for, you know, if you want to talk about that kind of thing, like the what you think through when you sit down to program like a lighting show.
All the bits and pieces of it, what goes into it. The craziest thing is always for me at least, is trying to figure out what color to use. It's always the hardest place to start. To me, there's certain songs that have different colors, and explaining the process is, you know, listening to the music, first of all, just seeing, you know, what the energy of the song is, because lighting is energy, and it's all about the energy. Not to sound, you know, like a new age hippie or anything like that.
No.
I don't know if I can say that. That might not be
You
politically
can't.
correct,
It's fine.
but not to
It's a
be like,
podcast.
yeah, hey, you know, it's for consumption. So, you know, it's Joe Rogan is
No.
definitely worse, right?
No, like I do want to ask a question about that. What's your thought on lighting being, you know, adding energy, or is you are you trying to just match the energy, or are there any times where you're like, I want to add energy to this song with lighting, or?
That's a great question. As far as like energy creation goes, I would say it depends on the environment, right? Like, I'm not going to try to hype up a bunch of adults like I would a bunch of middle schoolers or high schoolers or students. I wouldn't program for children the same way I would age groups. And I divide it into age groups, but
Even
more
if they're
broadly.
doing like the same song, like,
Completely. I've programmed differently, different song energy wise. Like, I try to keep upbeat for students, because students, you know, tend to get distracted. They like to, you know, get into the songs and, like, you know, get hype and jump around and everything. So I might, you know, strobe the lights a little bit to encourage that moment, maybe, or to increase the energy of that moment, right? You know, much to the chagrin of worship leaders a lot of times too, because they're the ones that are on the you know,
That's
blacking the
true.
lights, and they're trying to play instruments while I'm strobing lights. I always feel I'm absolutely terrible as I'm doing those, trying to create those moments.
I've
But
never thought about
you know, and they're doing the
that.
same thing too,
Sorry,
like whenever.
everybody.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, so sorry. And like, you know, you can ask anybody that's known me for, you know, as long as I've been doing this, and they will definitely say that, like, I love strobe lights, and I love, you know, creating those high energy moments. But I step back into what we would call it North Point SPD environment, which is our adult programming environment, and we approach that from a different perspective of a newcomer, like, you know, first time visitor who's coming into that. And we're trying to create a nice safe space that might be for some people of, you know, the first time they've been to church in, you know, a decade. It could be the first time they've ever stepped into a church. They could be from a different faith, a different religion, and they could, you know, and this is how we're setting, you know, the stage and the foundation for the rest of their faith. So look at that from the lighting perspective too. You go and, like, yeah, the students I can do that with. The adults, maybe if there's a cool opener. Yeah, let's strobe it out. Let's create that moment. But that's when collaboration and teamwork comes into a little bit more play, where We have different people on those teams who kind of collaborate together to create those moments, just to make sure that we check all of our boxes in organization, like as we should. So
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, so going back to the, so you pick a
lighting,
color.
yeah. So I pick a
So
color.
is it a, like when you're going through the color wheel, like is it the tone of the song? Is it the tempo of the song? Or is it like, hey, this has a lot of drums, so it's a certain color? Or like, is it just a
So,
feeling?
yeah, so like synth songs, I'll start with synth, like, because synth is really popular right now. So if it's got like heavy synth tracks, I normally go for neon colors, just like very 80 vibe to me for some reason. If it's a happy upbeat song, normally you go for like warmer colors, like yellows and oranges. If it's a, let's say, slower song, I would might go more for blue. Obviously, it's the go-to choice. Purples are very great for like slow, calming songs. Green apparently is the most calming color, hence the Green Room podcast, little name drop there. But also at the same time, like different songs have different shades of the same color too. So like, I might have three different green songs, and they might all three be different tempos. It might be a slow, medium, and a high tempo green song. It's at the same time, it might be a pastel green, a super saturated green, and like a lime green, and those three colors create different energies, I would say, or create different energies or meanings to different peoples, because there's a little bit of psychology that goes into color and how humans interact and perceive color and just what color does to us, as humans.
That's
So
crazy.
it's a little bit of that goes into the choices that you make as a lighting designer with color, especially in church environments. So sometimes in worship environments, I have been known to do more, like I laugh when I say more traditional church colors. So like, I tend to stick more towards purples, golds, whites, stuff that, reds, definitely stuff that make people think of like, Jesus, the sacrifice he made for us, royalty off him at the same time too. There's a lot of like symbolism with color that people have, meaning tied into that particular color. So like, me, the shade of red is very like calming.
Oh, interesting, really.
I sleep in red light, like, and red is actually the best for like nighttime and low light situations
Oh,
and
true. Yeah.
for your eyes adjusting and
Backstage,
everything.
you got it's red light and stuff like that.
Red light in a lot of theaters, blue lights also, like,
Yeah, blue
really good
light.
in situations. All that to say, to another person, red light might be a super exciting color, or it might be something that could be negative connotated. I don't want to go that there, but like, who knows? I don't know. So
That's interesting. Okay, so first step or first thing you're thinking through when you sit down is color.
A 30-minute to like 2.5 hours long discussion with myself on what color I want to use. Yeah. Like, dead
No, that's
serious.
great. I mean, no,
I
that I mean,
mean, yeah.
no, I want to, have these conversations so that, other people can think through those things, be more intentional about those kind of things rather than just throwing color up for the
Right. And
sake
I
of
mean, that's.
color.
And sometimes, like, anyway, we're not going to go there. So the second step is really knowing your fixtures and knowing your rig. So if I'm ever in a new environment, the first thing I do is get to know the lights that are in that environment. If I know the console, hopefully I'm not learning the console, because the first thing you want to know is you always want to make sure that you know the console that you're using, and you know how to set it up for your success. Like, I'm very famous for taking other people's shows and completely gutting them, and keeping the patch information. Yeah, like dead serious, like gutting like a fish, and like keeping the patch information for the show, because I have very particular ways that I like to set up. And we're the console that I'm talking about is an MA2, just for reference. But it's like I have a very particular way that I like the screens laid out, and where my buttons are, and where I'm used to, like where my muscle is on the layouts on the screens. So I have the tendency just to trash everyone else's like layouts and setups and everything, and recreate my own when I go into a new room. And then I start to get the fixtures in that way, the console set up for my success. And then I need to know the fixtures, like as far as like what are the spots, washes, what are the capabilities. With that, checking out positions at the same time. So it's like with the console set up, it's like select my groups, make sure that, you know, they're all working, make sure that my positions look good in the room, see which ones as I'm like just setting, this is just setting up, not even thinking about the music, just seeing what the rig is capable of. And then I know when I go and program what's going to look good, what's not going to look good, what's going to you know, be capable within my time limits too, because there's also a time limit on all this. There's also always an overarching time limit with programming. And Lord knows, like, I want to spend a week programming one song, but this ain't a Taylor Swift tour. So, you know, I just, you know, and eventually a couple of my audio friends are always like, you know, always bugging me because there's like, at a certain point, like, you have to be done. Like, you know, they're like, no way. Like, Taylor, you looked at that transition for 15 to 20 minutes now. Like, you have to be done with this. Like, you know, so just going through that process though, of first like knowing what color choice and what color direction you want to go with the service, which I can I credit people by name in this in a good positive way. There's
Absolutely.
so Brittany Kafer, who is
Okay.
my friend Andy Kafer's wife's, he is literally Andy Kafer was the campus LD at Woodstock City Church. His wife was a producer up there, and she sat me down one time, and we came up with a color scheme for our whole entire, like, and this was for a transit weekend, for our middle
Oh,
schooler.
cool. Yeah.
And she had a very just distinct idea of where she wanted color to go through the whole service, through programming even.
Cool. Yeah.
And that to me like opened up a whole new door for me. So I credit her with that like kind of discussion. But it's like once you figure out where your colors are going, not just what colors are the songs, it's like how the colors even transition from song to song to song. Then you get your system set up. And once you get your system set up, then you can start like figuring out like how to put the pieces of the song together with your looks and what you want to create and with the energy you want to create with those songs. So
That's
I know
cool.
it's a very complicated way to think about the things, but the more you do it, the better you get at it. And obviously, repetition makes permanence. So.
Now, when it comes to like you saying, Brittany gave you this sort of direction, is that always more helpful or?
In my life, it's been dependent on how old I am, and how willing I am to collaborate in that environment. And it depends on who's saying it. Like, you know, so there's a lot of authority, there's a lot of respect that goes into that. In the professional sense, there is a chain of command that you always want to respect in any production environment. Like, you have a producer that everyone kind of answers to, who controls, like, you know, the whole entire, like, you know, who, what, when, where, and why. Like, you know, and you're getting a lot of independence within your lane in production, but you're always like, you know, if you don't have a producer, you're, you know, held to, you answer to your client basically. And that's who he meant. In the church sense, our client, you know, I'm not going to say our client is God and Jesus, because that would be way that, you know, I would lose sleep over that. But like our clients are humans, like, you know, humanity is our client. Like, you know, the community that we serve in is our clients. And that creating the best environment for them is our end goal, as a production team. So part of the hierarchy of that is, going back to your question, being able to collaborate is a super important trait that I've had to learn personally throughout my career. And having just great collaborative you know, environments, and also great people to collaborate with, so just like makes it makes the whole entire experience better for everybody, really. So that would be the biggest thing that I learned from inspiration thing is, like, you know, it was one of the first times that I had like been confronted with collaboration, and I was just like, this is amazing. Like, I don't know why I haven't been collaborating. I don't know why I haven't been more of a team player. It's just something that's so like personal and basic to me as color, right? You know, and you know, that's another surrender metaphor for Christianity, but we're not going to go that route. I don't want to Jesus shoot you, so
No, you're good.
yeah.
What's something that in regards to the collaboration thing that has really helped you be more collaborative with that person, or is there anything that you've is there any feedback that you've given someone that's helped them be more collaborative?
I would
That
say
might be two
communication.
different questions there, sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, personally, like, communication is key when you do anything. Like, if you cannot communicate, just like the basic idea that you're trying to convey. That's like one of the biggest things is with creative people, it's just like, I don't like this color blue. And you're like, well, what don't you like about the color blue? Like, elaborate about that instead of being like, hey, the shade of blue is a little too dark for me. Do you have a lighter shade of blue? Like, that's a balance and collaboration. One is a very just like, do what I say authoritative thing, and the other is more like a, hey, here's a suggestion on this. Like, hey, you change. Hey, here's a suggestion of what I would personally want to change or see change, And if that comes from an air of authority, 100% of the time, I'm gonna follow that person and do exactly what they say because they approach me in a collaborative way that respects me and respects my, who I am as a human being first, versus just saying like, no, this needs to change. I don't know what needs to change. But so like, and I know that's cliche and it's very like, overstated sometimes in these conversations, but yeah, I think that's a communication is like key to it. If you can't communicate with people that you're around, but also being willing to be shut down, that's another huge thing in collaboration. Sometimes you don't always get your way.
Say more about that.
So like, not to mention the previous situation because, we had a great, fantastic time and Brittany is one of my great friends. But sometimes like, when you, what if I said like, I'm an artist, right? Like, and I create a beautiful painting. And like, I'm like Bob Ross, right? Like, I'm not personally saying I'm a Bob Ross, but like in these shoes, in this metaphor, I'm Bob Ross. I'm painting a painting. Somebody comes over and just like trashes the painting and doesn't like it. Like, or like, in the sense, says, hey, like, this is a great painting, but it's not what I'm looking for. And I can't use it. Personally,
It's much better. Yeah,
I would be
obviously.
hurt. Like, I'd be like devastated. It's like I put time and effort into this. Like, and sometimes that's a thought in a collaboration, that doesn't get honored in the collaboration, right? And you have to be used to that too. You have to be like, sometimes it's an absolutely like me, five, 10 fingers by myself, like, idiotic idea, like, oh crap, I made that suggestion. Sorry, let me, put my foot back and, let me eat those words back in my mouth. But there's a great Walt Disney thing that I always go back to. When they were animating movies for Walt Disney, they do like, I mean, I want to say like millions of like caricatures,
Yeah, absolutely.
storyboard stuff, like, concept art, like, all this stuff that it's just like, thousands, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of just like beautiful artwork that doesn't get used in the film. And just gets put in a drawer in the vault, like, in Walt Disney. And you got to think about those animators and it's like, how do they feel about the collaborative process after that? Do they feel like they collaborated towards making the end film? Or do they feel like their voices were heard too? So, but that goes about the communication, but also communication and listening on the other side of that. You have to be able to listen, you have to be able to communicate. One of my like Twitter phrases is that, you have to be able to listen and respond thoughtfully to people in order to both, understand the other person and then be understood yourself. So.
No, that's great. Well, and I think it's also for the person giving that feedback to be respectful to you and to the time and effort, even if they can't use it, like, hey, this isn't what we were going for. I can't really use it, but I'd like to work with you on getting it to where we want. Like, is there, have you had any experiences where you've gotten that feedback and then like you were able to get a product that they were, I mean, probably not because like you put out amazing stuff the first time. So, I'm
You
kidding.
want to say that you like stand behind your finished product all the time. But I mean, there have been like other times where it's just like, you may not be able to see it from that angle. I don't want to name drop anything, but there's a, Gwinnett Church pastor that always, has this whole viewfinder series where it's like, lens shift and perspective shifts. It's like that collaboration, you check out of that perspective shift when you refuse to collaborate. You don't get to look at the view from another person's angle. And sometimes that view is like completely life-changing to you. But until you step into that person's shoes, you can't fully, you can't, click your viewfinder over to that new perspective. So yeah.
That's really good. That's really, really good.
That's trademark. I'm not going to mention him in this conversation, but I guess, I've
Okay.
always, I don't want to be like, oh, I love everybody. I don't want to be like that, So, but
No, you're
there's
good.
great, like, they have great communicators, great pastors, great, people around us
Yeah.
that, say some of the most fantastic things that, if only we listen to sometimes.
True. Yeah, that's very true.
Very, very guilty here. But so yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. What were you gonna say?
No, I was just gonna go back to process question because I don't want to get
Yeah.
off on much of a tangent. But like,
Very good.
collaboration is part of the process. I will say knowing the BPMs of the song is always
Okay.
good for programming. That's a
Yeah.
technical question for programming. It's like, knowing the where the song's going, where you want to go personally to with the lights, because I would say that you don't want to, like, give away too much too soon. You always
Right.
want to let
Oh,
the
yeah.
audience know more, and you always want to, keep people guessing, like in the entertainment sense. And a lot of those entertainment ideas, can be applied forward in a lot of the stuff that we do at church. Is I always say that we are trying to sell an idea, and that idea is Jesus. So
Sure.
ultimately, so instead of, selling rock and roll records
Yeah.
or selling multi-level marketing products.
Right. Yeah.
sorry,
Gosh.
just had to say that. I've
Well,
done so many gigs in my life, yeah.
I like to think that the lighting and knowing where that song is going, the lighting really can help emphasize those moments. If it's a down moment, if it's an up moment, if it's a, you suck all the lights out and then like really
Solo,
emphasize it, something like that.
yeah, like a
Like,
solo with guitar or keys or
yeah.
something like that, like,
Yeah. I feel like that's what the lighting is best at is in my opinion, instead of really adding the energy, unless it's for students or something like that, but like it's to emphasize instead of add to, I feel.
And that's a very theatrical way of looking at it too. Like, you can blend lots of different lighting styles together too. And I think that goes back to what I said about, like, going all out for a rock and roll opener,
Sure.
but maybe
Yeah.
adding enhancing moments for worship. Like,
Yeah.
so
Well, and
there's
maybe
different.
I should specify that for worship music,
Yeah. Okay.
the lighting is to emphasize. But that's a, like I said, that's my opinion.
I would 100% agree with that. And a lot of that emphasis can be done with color, more than movement sometimes too, which is actually something
Yeah.
the older, I guess, a little bit older version of myself has come to the realization of, is like you can be a lot more effective with color and slow movement
Oh,
sometimes than
yeah.
you can be with, like, strobing and just over the top, like, Joe,
Sure.
Joe, Joe, lights, 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 lights,
Yeah.
and a lot of that stuff is great and it's super technical and it's very impressive. But also at the same time, it's like, what's the vibe that we're going for here? Like,
Yeah.
it's environmental. I keep going back to the word environment because that's a word we use a lot at, in
Yeah.
deployment.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So, but at the same time, like, just knowing your audience would be the more broad general sense that I always do.
So now, even to take that a step further, rather than like students versus adults, do you take that same approach versus like a non-denominational church and then like a Presbyterian church or a Methodist church? Like, are there differences in that? Because I've not been out in the contract world like you have, so.
Oh my gosh, I'm shaking my head just about like I've introduced denominations to hazers for the first time. There's certain denominations. One of my students has introduced his church to a blue cross. Not like the Blue Cross Blue Shield, but trademark them, but like has introduced them to the color blue lit up on a cross, like,
Oh
so
wow. So just adding color to the sanctuary or their whatever the
it
worship center or whatever we're calling it now.
we can call it the main meeting central meeting location for the services, the service location, because it's
Right.
like,
Yeah.
yeah, you're absolutely right. It's we call it an auditorium in
Right.
North
Yeah.
McLean. So it's like, it's where we have the whatever you want to call it. So but yeah, so just adding a blue light in that space really freaked out a lot of the regular attenders at that church.
Like
And
freaked out, like they're
like, yeah,
like not cool,
just
kinda.
One, he was only able to get away with it one time.
Okay, well.
With him, we were able to get away with the same thing, flying a drone inside a Mercedes-Benz stadium one time. And
Okay.
then you could get away with it, and then they're just like, "Hey, you probably shouldn't do that again." And you're like, "Yeah, we probably shouldn't do that." So, but
Yeah.
yeah, we're just gonna, you know,
Okay.
but yeah, it's like one of those you run into so many I call it, and I hate to talk about like things that I've labeled, but like the personalization paradox of Christianity is that Christianity is a very personal religion. We have very different sects that fit into the vibe, is to use a millennial, pre-millennial term, but it's like for me, whatever the vibe of how you vibe with Jesus, really, like how you experience God, how you experience Jesus. It's different from me. It's different from you, even from my parents. It's different from their parents. So
Big
I call it a
time.
personalization paradox, and it really is because we all experience Jesus and God in very personal, real, religious ways. And it's hard to quantify that in a broad stroke way for everybody. So in Christianity, we kind of like, divide out, divide and conquer, and
Okay. Yeah.
but no matter what, and this is something that, like, I came to the realization of in my 20s, it's like, yeah, we have all these sects of Christianity, but the one thing that me and my mom always go back and forth with, because like I go to North Point Ministry, she goes to a church that's not anywhere close to what North Point is.
Same.
Yeah, but she looks at it and she just goes, but I know who who the pastors and the communicators are. And I know that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are the center of it. And if those three things are the truth, then how can I go against any of those other ministries or denominations? Or how can I judge you for going to a different church? Or if anything, I should be supporting you going to church, because you are going to church, you are experiencing God in your own personal way. And I have seen God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit work in your life. So those are all the center of the church you're going to. So more power to you. If that was worth it, if it's Church of Christ, if it's United Methodist, if it's Baptist, if it's whatever works for you. And I hate to sound like, very ecumenical about that, but it's just, in this day and age, like, we don't want to force you through a cookie cutter, especially when it comes to faith and religion.
Yeah, that's one of the cool stories that I heard working at Roswell was it was like the DNow weekend or something like that. And there was a volunteer that was working the youth night. He was like in his 80s or one or something like that. Old guy, cane, but he was like there holding the door, whatever. And someone, maybe one of the pastors, asked him like, "Hey, why are you volunteering for this event?" He's like, "I didn't think you'd like this kind of thing." He's like, "I don't like this type of thing, but I like seeing all these kids come." And he's like, "That's why I'm doing it." And I was like, "That's amazing. Like,
It's absolutely spectacular. That's a servant heart right there.
I
That's
was like, "That's
absolutely like
fantastic."
someone who gets that the ministry is not about them all the time. With the personalization paradox, I feel like another thing that I combat all the time within, this wonderful religion that we all love and hold dear to our hearts, is just the me church, the combatant at the me church, right? Because everybody is like, not to sound like JFK or anything, like everybody wants to know what the church can do for them, right? But that servant heart that you just mentioned with the octogenarian that was holding the door open, like, my experience with octogenarians is aggression and anger over what I'm doing in their churches and in their environments. I most likely do not meet older people from different generations most of the time. There's lots of great leaders that absolutely are on board and support what I do, but most of the time it is a lot of anger and aggression from such a
Like lights are in
unlikely.
my eyes.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, oh my gosh, we're all gonna lose our face over this. Like, no, you're not, I don't think. But like, maybe that goes back to knowing your environment, knowing your audience, knowing like who you're serving, really. Like, and I think that old, and I don't want to call him old guy, that 80-year-old dude literally knew who he was serving by holding that door open for those kids.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Also knew it wasn't about him. So,
I mean, yeah, really the volunteer and servant heart. That sort of I work with a lot of volunteers. I was a volunteer long before I was ever on staff at a church. And I've
Which is great.
all
Can I
it's
interrupt you? Like,
yeah.
great for you. Like, I mean, literally, volunteer heart is like the best thing for production. Like, I love it. Like, that you got started as a volunteer and then worked your way, like you're just like, yeah, I feel like I could, do this full time, like step into the full ministry role, from volunteer to like, full ministry. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's great. Sorry, not to
No,
interrupt you.
no, you're good. I was just gonna say, I feel like that is one way to make that church feel like your church is to get into some sort of volunteer role. I feel like the whole volunteer culture has been sort of sidelined a little bit with, current church drama and stuff like that, but I think it's super important for your faith and just you as a person. I think it's
100%.
yeah.
Yeah, I
And
mean,
if it's in production, great. Love to have you. I need more camera ops.
okay.
I need more
Let's
stage
go. Let's
people.
go. Yeah. Hey, lighting volunteers, like, come on,
Yeah,
advertising for
absolutely.
it.
Yes. Yes.
Dustin would be remiss if we didn't mention audio people. We need some audio guys
Yes,
too,
I need some monitor.
Yeah,
I need some monitor
we
guys.
need some monitor engineers too. If you want to come to Hamilton Mill Church, Hamilton Mill's fantastic.
Well.
I've been to every single North Point campus in the Atlanta area except for Decatur City, and I will be at Decatur City soon. But I say that out of all of them, Hamilton Mill, Aaron knows this. Hamilton Mill always has like a special place in the Florida zone in my heart.
It's a
I love
fun. Yeah, it's a lot
it.
of fun. Hey, look at that.
I
That's
know,
new.
right? New feature
All
on
right.
Zoom. I love the future, don't you?
That's great. I knew that Apple or FaceTime did that. I did not know that Zoom did
Oh,
that.
bro, I think it works with a thumbs up too, not to be that guy, but.
Oh.
And if I have
That's
an idea, I feel like
amazing.
I can do like, I have an idea.
Oh.
No,
No.
okay.
Okay.
They're working on a thought bubble. The thought bubble will be coming
That's
next Zoom
amazing.
day. We'll be getting a thought bubble. So.
Oh my gosh, I did not know it did that. All right. Well, now it's going to be online forever.
That's amazing. I love posterity recordings. That's why I decked out my I said decked my
That's
office
amazing. It
with
looks
them
great.
like in a Christmas tree, So yeah,
Yes.
we don't have to talk
Yeah.
about that.
No,
So
you're good.
some professional is on the Zoom background on a Zoom call.
I love it. I was just not expecting just hearts. Just anyway.
was just like just fluttering out, like, it's just like it's magic. It really is. Like it's I feel like I should do like a hand clap. There's a hand
Does
clap.
it? No, my. I
Okay,
don't know why they would just do hearts and the thumbs up. Like that's so random.
don't let me get you off on an ADHD tangent slash I'm trying to make sure that my pit stains aren't showing up like I'm sweating, but
It's all good.
I'm enjoying this conversation. So
Good.
you started out as a volunteer. I would say I started out as a volunteer, high school volunteer that got plugged in as a college
Yeah.
volunteer and came back as a lowly paid ministry person. But like that's been part of my story. Like,
Yeah.
when after I grew up at Cross Point, I went to Seneca, South Carolina, and worked for a church at Seneca, then took a break from church for a while, just because for a while because it just wasn't it to me. I was in a season of life, and I was like 21 when this happened. So like I was really like young and just like in the
Yeah.
college age. Just like, I don't know. Like I became
Yeah.
a Barna, N-O-N-E nun. I became a nun, a non-affiliated
Oh,
Christian
okay.
for
I
about,
gotcha.
about 6 months of my life. And
Yeah.
then wandered into Brownsbridge one Sunday morning, just looking like a lost sheep, and got adopted into the fold up there,
That's cool.
just through happenstance. So that's how I got started in North Point, in general, or North Point Ministry, as we call it.
Yeah.
But really through that, no matter what I've done, there's always been like, every single Sunday, yeah, for, and you understand this because you've been the
Yeah.
same, but every single
Yeah.
Sunday we've both been like, working hard towards just creating, the best
Yeah.
environments and for the people that attend them. So
So,
through lighting, whatever production element. So yeah.
sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, you get.
So getting coming when you came back, got adopted by Brownsbridge. How did you start get on tour or how'd you get plugged in at Roswell? I mean,
So
because you're all over the city, like you are hard
I
to pin down
literally
for dates.
Yeah, most of the time, like when people see my disheveled hair and everything like that, like I normally like, you know, I sometimes just like reel at just how all over the place that I have been. I've settled down recently as of late. I'm getting older, Aaron. I don't have the energy of a 20-year-old anymore. I get, you know, like, but I look at it and I say that I got connected through my first tour with Three Browns Bridge, believe it or not, which is super rare. Just don't get your hopes up, anybody that's listening or watching, like that's going to happen to you. It's almost like, you know, somebody once again, I was doing a good job, which you should always do a good job. And I had somebody that stood behind me, that was just like, bro, like you're, you know, really good at this. And I feel like you'd be really great. And I have an opportunity, that I want to give you. And I was just like, cool. And it wasn't a grooming opportunity either. So it was fantastic, completely healthy. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there. So just completely healthy, just opportunity. And I was like 20, like I said, I was 21 years old at the time, about
Wow.
to turn 22. And to me, it was like the next logical step in my career.
Okay.
And even though I had to step away, like the most, like the heartbreaking part about that was me stepping away from Browns Bridge and North Point and Buckhead Church at the time. Because by the time that I got offered the tour, I started at Browns Bridge, faithful fall of 2009 is when I wandered into Browns Bridge and got adopted into, you know, their student ministry there. So I connected and branched out from the 1 year that I had been there at, just running around at North Point. I'm not going to name drop her name, but you know all the people that I was running around with. But just basically doing set changes, programming lights on Sunday, not knowing anything really, like, you know, because I was very green and very new, but was with a lot of really great people who were willing to not only teach me, but give me crap tons of grace when I was growing. And I think that was best thing that happened. And then it became one of those things that was just like, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? Because I'm always the next guy. So it was like friend of a friend connected me with a production manager that was looking for a lighting tech for a tour with a A-list Christian band who had done a lot of really cool stuff. And then from there, I talked to the production manager. Production manager was like, cool, I feel like this is a good fit. So I'm gonna connect you to the LD. Then I interviewed with the LD, the lighting director, just to, you know, find the acronym, but interview with the LD. The lighting designer's name was Taylor, believe it or not. So just it's a God thing, right? Like a total God thing. Like, you know, we hit it off really well, and he became T1, I became T2, and I did over 80 shows. I believe it was over 80, almost 100
That's
shows
cool.
with them on a national tour in 2011. So it was like 2009. I left church. I came back to church. 2010, I spent a year just kind of like, you know, learning and doing as much as I could. And then got connected with somebody who got me, you know, on the road. So, and it was kind of crazy. But then once again, the sad part about that is that I then had to call, like, the
Yeah.
use who my bosses at all the campuses and be like, hey, so this is the opportunity that I have. And you always want to start with that. You never want to be like, you know, oh, screw you guys, like I got something better, like, you know, double birds up on both hands, like I'm getting out of here. Like, you know, you always want to be like, hey, look, I had this amazing life-changing career building learning growth opportunity that I want to pursue. And I really just like, I know that you're gonna want like me to pursue it. It sucks because I'm having to step away from you, but ultimately it's better for me from what, like, you know, trajectory wise, what I need and what I have going on in my life. And it's tough, you know, it's a difficult conversation, but really at the end of the day, it's always a conversation. You know, going back to communication being one of the core tenets, you know, good collaboration. But yeah, it's always a conversation.
How does the tour world compare to Sunday to Sunday church production world?
It's a lot like having a church plant. A lot of times, think about like what goes into like, you know, getting a church plant set up. A lot of it is Same lights, same systems, just mobile systems, really. The great thing about this environment is you have lots of static fixtures that you may change around inside of your environment, but they don't get packed up into a road case, get thrown into the back of a semi truck, and then get carted halfway around the country, and then get unboxed by people that you don't know each and every day. Then having to be like, hey, please don't break this light because I only have two extra ones. And if you break this light, like I'm not gonna have a I'm not gonna have a, like, an extra light to replace it with. So please extra nice. And then the Christian caveat of that is that when you're on Christian tour, you half your venues are churches, like, mega churches around America. Like, so you're walking into great, like one of the churches we were at, it was in Carmel, Indiana, was modeled after I think it was Celine Dion's Las Vegas theater, right? Dead serious, like one of the most bomb queries, like auditoriums that I've ever been in, like three stories, looked like the Kodak Theater, like you could host the Oscars in this thing, and that's how massive this place was. That was a great tour experience, but caveat, all of my labor were church volunteers. The double caveat was they do those big shows all the time there, so they were kind of more set up, and more like, knowledgeable about like what a light was. So it was a little less teaching them and a little more like, hey, this is the big picture. But that's
That's
always
cool.
like, the connecting thing is like, sometimes when you're on Christian tours, you go to churches. Sometimes you connect with other Christians. When you're not a Christian and you're just out on normal tour, there's a lot of camaraderie on tours that kind of the kind of camaraderie that kind of matches green room camaraderie or band camaraderie or like just production team camaraderie. There's a lot of teamwork. And churches are traditionally incredibly tight-knit. You know that. So the family aspect of touring is definitely something that is mirrored in the church world too. As far as like production, I need to talk more about production, less about Christianity, right? But like, so production-wise, like mobile rigs, you never know necessarily how well the venue is going to be set up for your success on a daily basis. You don't know which challenges. The unforeseen challenges you might expect, like the unforeseen challenge of a church is like you get to church and the pro presenter computer is dead, right? The unforeseen challenge, right? Oh no, that's a devastating morning for a lot of churches, right? Not to play pro presenter, but let's go Renewed Vision, love those
The
guys. So
lyrics machine. You can just call it. Oh, there it is.
I just triggered another
Oh.
one. I knew it was something. It's the double thumbs up, and I think I have to like.
Oh my gosh.
So I talk with my hands way too. I should just sit on my hands for the
No,
rest of the
you're fine. Just no,
call.
you're good.
So the Renewed Vision guys, like, let's say the pro presenter computer crashes, like, you can easily grab a laptop, maybe that's an easy troubleshoot. But let's say that you're in the middle of the field. This is a true story, right? We were in a ski resort in Colorado and we had set up our show, and then in a ski resort in Colorado, the weather changes like that, right? A storm rolls in over the mountains. There starts to be like lightning and crazy, just like hail is
Yikes.
forecasted. It's lightning. The concert's canceled, but all of our gear is still on stage, right? One of two options. We either load out all of our gear in the lightning storm, or we wait until the storm's over and take our chances in the morning in the mud and everything like that. So our bus driver was like, there is no way in heck that I am like getting our tires stuck in that mud in a tour bus with a trailer behind it. So what I'm gonna do is like I need you guys to load and pack the gear up in the truck in the middle of the lightning storm on the side of the mountain, outdoor festival show, so we can get the crap out of here and go. Like, so next thing you know, like I'm in the middle of the field with our audio guy rolling up a snake. In the middle of open field, in the middle of a lightning storm, because we're trying to get out of there and get going, right? So talk about a challenge that you might experience on the road versus a challenge that you might experience at a church on a Sunday morning. And it's the same amount of stress level. Like that's serious. Like that to me could be the same amount of stress level for the person, the people that are involved in both ends. But our jobs as production guys is to mitigate those. And you can see I'm hiding my thumbs now. So
John, don't worry about
like, you know, so we, you know, we as church guys, like, you know, production church guys, we kind of mitigate that and set up our teams for success. So most recently, the more recent business metaphor that I've come up with is like, it's our job to provide this smooth takeoff and landing surface for the service to both take off and land. But we're the aircraft carrier, and we're the people that are responsible to, well,
like
the church
that.
Is the aircraft carrier, like, you know, and we're responsible for maintaining this giant aircraft carrier so we can take off and land. So
No, I really like that, and that's, I think that's some stuff that I've been thinking about too, in my previous role, and then now in this role, is just like, my job is to make sure that everybody can do their job. Because I'm not going to be able to program like you. I can't mix like Dustin can mix, but maybe I can make sure that maybe one day, but I can make sure that the console is ready to go. The lights all work, the power, you know, power bills paid. Not that I do that, but you know, it's those kind of things.
Yeah. You can provide the firm foundation that all of our, like, I jokingly say that in live events and, like, you know, the tour world and everything, the firm foundation of any good production is power, right?
Right.
You can't have a good show without good power. So
I'm out of a job without power. Yeah,
exactly. Right. So with you, like, you provide that firm foundation for your church services, much like, you know, a power run, like, you know, a main theater run, like, you know, to talk in production terms, like, you know, like forming a disconnect, you know. That goes down, like, you're not having a show, but
200 amp at Hamilton Mill, but whatever.
That's okay. Maybe we'll have 400 amp.
Maybe one day.
400 amps are dangerous too. that's a lot of amperage running through.
It is a lot. It is a lot.
A lot of people don't, I mean, I'm not going to point fingers at any names, but a lot of people don't have the proper gauge for that type of amperage too. So it makes it fun. But but that's, like, you know, the experience, like, in church world, and that, going back to your original question, that's how those two worlds kind of overlap. They overlap with gear. They don't necessarily overlap with the experiences that you have or the opportunities that you have to get those experiences. But at the same time, you can learn a tremendous amount in a closed, safe environment where there's tons there's tons of grace in church, and you can learn a lot of those experiences. So
That's really cool. And I know that they don't really relate too closely, but I do know that a lot of the, you know, church production guys do go off, you know, tour, you know, I'm on tour, and then they come back, which is always great. We always hate to see them leave. Love to see them come back. So it's great. I obviously I can't tell you, you can't go, but I'm like, please don't.
And I don't want to,
that's
like,
super fun.
And that, once again, that goes back to what I was saying with my first tour, just how gut-wrenching it was. And then about this, like, it was gut-wrenching because I did that. I came back and I decided, I was like, you know, I had to come to Jesus meeting with myself. And I was like, I'm going to center my life on God and Jesus now. Like, you know, after I got through, like, you know, first tour, like trying to figure out what I was going to do after that. And I was picking up gigs in town. This is a great, just stuff that I tell everyone is, like, I had left a rocky foundation to come back to when I went on my first tour because of that kind of stuff, because of the relationships, you know, and that kind of stuff. So, like, getting back on the road and doing consecutive tours and keeping that momentum going in the touring world is ridiculously hard, but it's even harder coming back to a foundation that is very rocky, or a foundation that you built inside of your home or whatever your home base is. So a lot of guys move to Nashville and touring becomes their 24/7 eat, breathe, you know, life. But also at the same time, that's not a lifestyle that was for me. I've been fairly successful at being based in Atlanta and still being able to tour, or have been able to tour. You know,
so when you got back from that first tour, how was it getting back into regular Sunday gigs? Was it difficult, or did you just pick up the phone and be like, hey, I'm back?
The latter of the two, but I still had to, the difficult side was I had to be patient and wait, right? back in the day, lighting guys, we didn't really have a lot of campuses for lighting guys, and we had our core group of people, right? So it's like sometimes getting work back into those environments is difficult. However, the caveat and the stuff that I always put before I went out on the road was, hey, let me know when you do your next booking. Like, let me know when you need help. Like, here are my dates. Like, here, like, I try to be as transparent as possible. It goes back to communication being key for success. But you try to be as transparent as possible. That way, when you leave, you always can come back and say, like, a month ahead of time, going like, hey, I'm about to be back in town for 3 months. Like, what's going on? But there's also the opportunity or the chance that they're not going to like say, hey, we found somebody in the interim time that actually replaced you, so we don't need you back, and then there's also the idea of like you stepping into a place and you having to refit into a place that you were like, the alpha dog at, or you were the king at, and that's another
That's
crazy thing.
true.
A lot of my like, stuff that, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this, just like a lot of my frustration with the lack of success in certain environments has been from that fact, where it's been like, foundationally, I didn't build that foundation. I left and went and got experience. I came back with experience expecting, because I had the experience expecting to actually be able to step back into those environments and be successful, not knowing that the people that were part of that, they moved on like in the 6 months to a year that I was gone. Plus, talk about headaches and stress on some people with not knowing whether or not I was going to be around. Like, there's a famous story where I used to fly back to Woodstock City Services for Inside Out, right? And the
I
Inside
didn't
Out
know that.
production director would literally, like, I would post on Instagram when I was taking off, and the production director for Woodstock City would literally look at it on Instagram and be like, okay, Taylor's on a plane right now. It's Sunday morning. Taylor's on a plane right now. And I know his plane is gonna land at 8, 9 a.m. And I know that he's gonna have plenty of time to get here to land in Atlanta. But I know I can see it in your face right now. You're just like, oh my God, like
Tough, yeah,
it's tough, right? And then you look and you go, like, I want Taylor there, but that stress, might not be what they want. And, no matter how much you're connected to that environment. But I would still like, do that kind of stuff, because I believe in North Point so much too. That just humble brag on myself for a
Dang,
little bit. But like,
no,
I
I agree,
very firm believer in that. But I was very thankful to have a leader that would allow me to do that too, because it's a two-way street.
yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, I definitely like seeing all those little green check marks in pro or in planning center on
Oh, I see
Thursday before.
the yellow question
Man.
mark. Like, no, but that goes back to like consistency and how consistent can you be when you leave for 2 to 3 months at a time, right? Like, after my like third or fourth time, kind of like not doing that, but like, of realizing that, because I'm hard-headed. Like, one thing you should know about me is like, A, I'm slightly crazy because I do production, and you have to be slightly crazy to do production. But the second thing is like, I just like 4 or 5 times before I had to learn that lesson. I learned it the hard way with a lot of different companies, with different people. A lot of my encouragement, and even when I mentor kids or students and that kind of stuff, I always encourage them to avoid the pitfalls and mistakes that I've made personally in my career, just as far as like learning stuff and like, and through that learning. But I wouldn't trade my experience for the world, because like, once again, learning experiences, hands for that. But I think I answered your question on that one, I
Yeah, no, that's
believe.
great. I think that sort of leans into another question I had with going back to like you were saying, like the potential like changes, like maybe you're no longer the alpha dog, that kind of thing. How much I'm always curious because I'm always on this side of being a staff member at a church. How much does the staff changes or staff dynamic affect you, contractors, as things go? Because I know like staffing at churches is, big conversation always has, not maybe not always has been, but it's been. And just with staffing changes, how does that affect you and your livelihood, I guess, frankly?
For a lot of people, I feel like they're a little bit more tied to it. And I definitely have been tied to that uncertainty, to use a great 2024, going into 2024 word. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult. It really is. Like it's okay. Absolutely challenging. It takes a lot of discipline on your part. It takes a lot of just managing your time, your money, your relationships. It takes a lot of networking. A lot of people, it's political and it's exhausting. But that's all what happens when something as easy as the leader of the environment gets replaced, or the right. leader of the environment steps away, or heaven forbid, like the youth pastor has to go step down to go do another job. That's something, you know, great or even better for that person, like good for them. Like, you know, a lot of times in the church world, I don't want to go negative, but like we have to deal with the negative side of like, you know, poor choices that leaders make sometimes in their leadership. Yeah. You know, so, but ultimately, like, I hate to once again, Jesus juke you, but like, you know, you got to trust God through the transition in those situations, right? Like, you know, ultimately cool. ministerially, yeah. you got to trust God, to take God out of the situation just for practical uses, right? Like for non-Christian people that don't believe in God. It's like,
yeah,
you have to be able to take a step back from the situation to discern. And I don't know if I wanted to do that because I lost my train of thought completely when I went there. So maybe God doesn't want me to go down that path. this is a church podcast.
Like we're not taking God out of this.
I could be a Christian like if you want to, but like, you know, for somebody that doesn't believe in like the divinity and the God way, you know, the universe, then like, you know, what's the universe trying to tell you in that regard? So, but I forgot your question. What was the question again?
How does staff changes and like, so like LD at this, or the lighting director at this church left.
To take God out of it in the business world when that happens, like, you know, you can't control who your boss is. Sometimes your boss is going to be better. Sometimes your boss is going to be worse. At the end of the day, if you want to continue to work for that company, and there are several people that will leave organizations when bosses and leaders change inside of that organization, because that's the power of a good leader, Aaron. Like, it really is the power of a good leader. You want to be someone who creates culture that is not just a culture that wants to follow, but a culture that follows them when they leave almost. You know, this recent example is with ChatGPT, with their CEO leaving, taking 800 people with him to Microsoft, and then those 800 people getting hired back to ChatGPT just from him having a culture at that company.
Yeah.
No matter who that person is, you know, right. it could be, you know, a despotic cult leader. You know, you never know who that person may be.
Sure.
But at the same time, that's the kind of leadership culture that you want as a good leader. In the Christian sense, like, you want to trust God in that situation. You want to be able to say, hey, like, I'm going to pray for this person because they may not know what they're stepping into. They may have a different, completely different idea of how they want to operate, run the environment. And as long as God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are the center of it, I can't really say anything. So it's like, for me, you just like look at it and it's like, okay, then maybe that's God telling me that it's time for me to leave too. Or maybe, you know, it's time for me to take a step back in a season where, like, you know, I can reflect and make sure that this is really what's going to be. Because if I have a problem with the leader, if I have, like, you know, issues, hopefully it's a great thing. So let's go back to, listen on a positive note with that one. Best case scenario, you get along great, nothing changes, and your bookings stay the same and everything stays the same.
Sure.
Everything,
yeah. Yeah.
Everything. And I say your bookings, your relationship doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened 90% of the time. Especially.
Okay, that's good. All right.
Working ministries. I would say, at least for me, you know, and it's been very specific, like, you know, non-production leadership changes that have influenced whether or not I'm around a lot of the time, which is
interesting.
Yeah. So.
So like, pastors or
a lot service? Of times pastors yeah a lot really? Of times it's pastors. Yeah
okay
it's, they're like you know maybe elders of the churches or pastors has been my biggest encounter with reasons why. It may be
Okay.
communicated to other people, but I always know where the source is, unfortunately. I know that sounds like kind of
Read between
paranoid.
the lines kind of thing, like,
Yeah, you can
yeah.
in a lot of situations kind of see where the
Yeah.
actual source of where the information's coming from versus like just reading things at face value. But don't do that too, like I that sounds, don't do that too much
No,
because you
I know what you mean.
can get down to a path that you don't need to be on, and like all that kind of good stuff. So
I mean,
that's
are there I lost my track. I mean, I had a
sorry, and I'm
little
sweating.
inkling of a question. Oh, dang. You're good.
Literally, like I'm hype right now, so
Okay, that's good.
yeah, like really hype. It's kind
I got my question was like, so with like the non-production people, oh man. There you go.
that's how hype I am, Aaron, right
There you
there.
go.
So that's how excited I am for your interview.
That's
So
amazing.
I love it, dude. It's
The
fantastic.
and maybe we should say people just listening to the podcast and not seeing this on anywhere
Oh,
else.
good. Yeah, I just please don't. This is not going to be a video. I mean,
No, there
at
is, but I'm saying if you're just listening to this on audio, Zoom has, I guess, emojis that come up if you have do certain hand gestures. So that's what happens
oh,
every
yeah.
now and
Oh, for
then.
the podcast, because they don't know what I'm doing when I'm clapping, whenever
No,
I'm
no,
up here.
no.
I'm like, I'm going to hide my thumbs now. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just because Zoom keeps, with my reaction. So
Yeah.
I also feel like the podcast should know that I have incredibly, deep pit stains, just full candid, full
Yeah,
vulnerability
you're good.
right now. So, yeah, I'm sweating like crazy. So it's fantastic.
So going back to the like finding out like it's the non-production people that are like, hey, they're giving you this information, but you're like, I know we're good, so it's somebody else.
Right.
Is that like the elders wanting potentially, and I know we're just sort of speculating, but like, are
Yeah,
they
of
going in a
course.
different direction, or are they like, we want we
Yeah,
just we know of another guy that we want,
it
or
depends on the people, and sometimes you know that situation and sometimes you don't. Most recently I was talking to one of my students today, and he was trying to figure out why at 18 years old, why the girl didn't want a second date with him afterwards. And I was just sometimes like you're 18, dude, like sometimes just doesn't work out, and like you're dating for practice, like and sometimes it just doesn't work out, like so for that kind of thing, you look at it and you go like, am I the immature one in the situation, or there's something wrong with me? But you never want to do that, because that can be very negative and you can spiral out of control with your thought.
Oh,
But what
yeah.
you can do is you can go like, did I fruitfully pray for this? And is this a fruit of my prayer? And if it is a fruit of my prayer, then this is actually a good thing. It's from God, and I need to just move on and be good and happy. And I think it's a really good mindset to get into when you don't get your way. And it goes into being a good winner, but also being a sore winner is just as bad as being a sore loser. So you got to be able to win gracefully and lose gracefully, and fail as well as you succeed, more than anything. So,
Man, all kinds of proverbs out of you today. That's
hey,
great. No,
buddy,
they're great.
it's
They're
4 to 10.
fantastic. I love
So,
it. I love it.
no, I just, yeah, it just, I it's things that I
That's
think
great.
about, like. Whatever.
Well,
Yes.
I think the fact that you're thinking through that kind of stuff is I have no doubt is why you've been so successful and why you've stayed working, and why I can't name a single person that doesn't like that you're around. And I always know I enjoy seeing you, and I just want to thank you again so much for coming on the podcast. I think it's been great, and lots of stuff to think about and to work on with my, budding lighting career at Hamilton Mill.
I don't know how much we talked about lighting.
Oh, we talked about it a lot. No, you're good.
But like I, but it's like it's church based, so and I also don't want to take a. I always like to have the whole like I don't want to take up too much of your time. So,
No, you're good.
but any other
It's a
lighting questions?
podcast.
Yeah, I mean, any other lighting questions?
Lighting?
Like, I mean, seriously, like. and pick my brain. I know I'm not the most technical person. Like, there's other people that can answer technical questions a lot better, but
No,
so.
I really think that and that's another thing, just a little bit of vision casting for the green room, is that yeah, there's tons of other resources, other really great resources for how to program what this light does, what this console does, and stuff like that. But I really just want to talk about just production and why we do what we do, and just more about production and service programming, and talk about that kind of aspect. So getting into the philosophy of color, that's great. Let's go all day. That's kind of stuff, because it's fascinating, I think. And I think, if you're a nerd like me, it's fascinating too. Because
I'm a big nerd too, so
yeah.
but I reiterate your thanks, and I just want to I literally like had yeah, I love doing this kind of thing, and love knowledge. Knowledge is to be shared. So
Agreed.
all that to say, yeah, dude, thanks for having me. And I hope you learned stuff today,
Yeah,
but
absolutely. We definitely need to do this again. 100%.
100%. And I'm glad,
Yes.
like, yeah, I mean, for anybody that doesn't know Aaron that's listening, Aaron's a pretty awesome dude too. Should I brag on you? I feel like I compliment you
No, you
back.
don't need to do that. No,
Should I?
it's all
I know
good.
you're gonna hate it. Like, so
No.
maybe I should do it. Maybe I should like be like, no,
Maybe like,
be on
and.
and recording right now. No,
No.
Aaron's a absolutely fantastic human being. Beyond knowing him for the past over a decade, we have done so many services together, and you're not going to meet a more easygoing, easy, lovable person. Like, yeah, I don't know many people that don't like you either, Aaron. So,
Oh,
like,
thanks. You
the
said
steady.
don't know many, so you'll have to, after we're done, you have to give me a list.
A list of people that don't like you,
Yeah.
or okay,
Just
I can do that.
kidding. Just
I
kidding.
mean, I'll just take them out for you. How about that? Like,
Okay.
never mind. I can't
Not
say that on recording. Why did I say that on
good.
recording? No, I'm just gonna
Yeah, we definitely should both end with a thumbs up on the pot on the recording.
to
So we'll, then
do
we'll
the
sign
double
off.
fireworks
Yeah,
one?
the double thumbs up. Here you go. Double thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Okay, I
Come
think we have to release
on.
it. Yeah. Look excited. Maybe you don't have a turn. Look excited. You got to look excited.
It's not doing it. All right. Thanks, Taylor.
Thanks,
This is
Aaron.
great.